Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Bleav.
This is Bleav and Georgia Dogs Podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network.
Scored a touchdown earlier on a direct snap. Now it's Michelle's turn, running all the way. Gets to the edge. Sonny Michelle will send the Dogs home to the championship game.
...53.5-yard drive near hash, kick right, snap, hold, kick is away, it's reaching, and it is good, 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 Hot Pod does it, all right, Hot Pod!
Wilcox with an up and out, wide open, touchdown, Israel Truth!
All right. We are live here on Brinks TV. This is the Bleav in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network, the number one podcasting network for professionals. Man, what an intro. That was pretty sweet. That played even better than I thought it was going to. And Israel, I know you always get fired up on that last clip. Joining me is my man on your right, Israel Troop. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? I was sitting here trying not to talk during that whole intro deal, but I was like, this is sweet.
Yeah, I mean, look at the setup we have around you. J-Boy, eat your heart out, right? We actually got our rundown on the side of the screen, so it's going to keep me from being ADD radio. We got our name down there. We got our logo. We got this really cool bulldog head floating in the background. Man, I'm excited. We're on Brinks TV, so thank you to the whole Brinks crew for getting this show on the road. The Bleav Network really put this thing together. Top notch, man. I feel blessed. And our show is only a year old. We're celebrating our 1 year anniversary for the show. I know, Israel, you join me a little bit later, but man, this is exciting to go from where I was at this time a year ago to where we are right now is absolutely amazing. So, you know, thank you for joining me on the ride. Thank you, Brinks TV. And thank you, Bleav, for no pun intended, or maybe pun intended, for believing in us. So, Israel, where can we find you on social media?
Man, you can find me at Troopstar28 on Instagram and Twitter. My regular name, Israel Troop, on Facebook, if you guys have that. I'm pretty entertaining every once in a while. I'm a coach, so there's a lot of inspiration stuff going on. If you follow me today, you realize that my son had a blowout right before we left. Before I left for work, I was watching daycare. So it's been quite a day today.
Yeah, absolutely. And in case you missed it, we did a dad pod last week where we shared many blowout stories. So make sure you catch up on that. But yeah, you can find me at Coach Burton 36 on Twitter, at Burton.Corey, Instagram, my name, Corey Burton with an EY on Facebook. You can find our show at Bleav in Dogs on all social media platforms. We have a TikTok, believe it or not. I haven't really posted anything yet. I'm still learning the TikTok game. So you might see us on TikTok. I don't know. Soon, right? And as you can see, if you've made it to the bottom right corner, which I haven't yet, but if you made it to the bottom right corner of our screen, you can see our show is presented by betonline.ag. So lots of stuff going on. I continue to be impressed by these Hawks, and I'm like this close because I'm not really much of a better. I've messed around a little bit during football season. I really, just because I don't really know how to bet on basketball is why I haven't really betted much on basketball. But man, What a game with the Hawks last night. Coming, you know, down, man, what, 26 points in the third quarter?
That was the first time that I felt like Georgia had a chance to do anything. They're down by 20-something points in the third, fourth quarter, and they come back and win by, what was it, 3? I mean, that's awesome. That means that the curse of Georgia may be lifted.
I know Kirby Smart's ready for that. So the month of June is heating up. It's tons of exciting sports action. BetOnline is where you can find it. From basketball, which we just talked about, to hockey playoffs, if you're bold enough to bet on hockey, to baseball's marquee matchups, including prop bets and futures, BetOnline has all the latest odds and news information for all your online sports betting needs. So do what we did. You can literally bet on anything. So visit the website today or use your mobile device and join. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before that next tip-off, face-off, or pitch, head on over to BetOnline and start playing today. That's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Israel, got a great show lined up, man. We got some recruiting updates. You know, we talked to Blaine Gilmer a couple episodes ago, previewing this whole June recruiting cycle. Lots of things happening, lots of things heating up, lots of visitors, lots of things. Decommitments, some pretty big ones, literally and figuratively, that I want to get to. Bear Alexander, that one hurt. And then Bowie, not surprised, but it hurts nonetheless. But lots of things happening, lots of things taking shape. But how does Georgia recover from those two decommitments?
You know, it's one of those things to where you got to understand that it's recruiting. You know, that's what happens. You get guys early. You know, those guys say they're locked in, but all of a sudden, you know, other teams start to figure out, hey, this guy's pretty good. And they start pulling and pulling and pulling. So, you know, that's just a part of the recruiting game. And, you know, I talked about a couple of shows ago, losing Nick Williams was a big loss for Georgia, especially he's not much younger than me. I think we are about a year apart. The way that he can interact with the guys, and you know, he's from South Georgia, so he knows Bowie and things like that. You know, those guys are guys that he met when he was at Georgia, Bear and Bowie. So, you know, as soon as they decommit, where they go, they're going to visit Texas A&M. So losing him was huge, but at the same time, you got to understand it's recruiting. You know, Georgia's got 707s going on right now. So, of course, those guys are looking at guys, okay, we lost him. Who can we pick up now? You know what I mean? So, you know, the floodgates are still wide open. And, you know, this recruiting season is just getting started. I'm just glad that these guys can go out and do the 707, do the camp, so they can be seen by all these coaches. So just give it some time, and I guarantee that we'll pick up somebody, you know, to kind of replace those guys.
Yeah, I mean, one of the names I'm hearing a lot more smoke on is a guy named Travis Shaw. He's coming in. He's looking like he's a big time player now in the crosshairs of this recruiting staff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just love the fact that these guys are on campus so they can be seen. You know, we hear these names a lot. You know, Shaw. Okay, well, who is he? Now we get to see match a face with a name with a face. And right now, I mean, that is picking up steam. So you never know what might happen between now and either the first signing day or second signing day. These guys got time to go see the campus, you know, get to know these coaches and everything. So you never know what might happen between now and signing day.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. 7-on-7s. There's the Rivals 5-Star Challenge. You know, Oscar Delp is really showing out there. Gunnar Stockton is putting a tremendous showing there at the 5-Star Challenge, lighting it up. He's winning all kind of awards and things like that. So, I mean, it's, you know, I'm excited with the future of this thing. You know, Oscar Delp has been a huge part of recruiting some of these guys, and he might be, you know, he's going to be in the boat as well. You know, you've got the – we're really kind of hitting well with the IMG crew as well. I think with, you know, Tyler Booker, as a big offensive lineman, he's somebody that's big time on the radar, big offensive lineman from IMG. He's one of the ones that I think, Blaine was the highest on as far as being able to get. He's 6'5", 315 pounds, probably comes in as a tackle, but, so I kind of like where we're going there. Another guy, 4-star receiver. We're starting to get some receiving attention as well. Shalik Knotts from Monroe, North Carolina. He was here last weekend. He was extremely impressed. He said, quote, it's just something different. So getting guys like that, I think, will help turn the landscape of, you know, especially at the wide receiver position, you know, with starting with George Pickens. I think it started with George Pickens, getting him to flip from Auburn. You know, we talk about wide receiver recruiting, which has been something that Kirby Smart, that's, I guess if you had to pick a weakness, that's been his biggest weakness as far as recruiting up to this point. It is no longer, it's quickly becoming a strength. But it started with George Pickens, flipping him from Auburn, right, out of Hoover, which you get a kid to come over from Hoover. That's, you know, usually those kids are Bama locks, and if they're not Bama locks, they're Auburn locks. So you get Pickens. Then you get the trio of Arian Smith, Jermaine Burton, Marcus Roseme, Jack Saint, right? Then you get a Donnie Mitchell and Justin Robinson. And you get those tight ends. And you get Eric Gilbert. So you're getting a lot of weapons now. I think they're kind of starting to see that, okay, this Georgia offense is evolving. What part do you think George Pickens has played in all this? He's been kind of the key to me.
I think he's played a huge key. You know, you hate to see a guy get injured, but one thing that he's done and one thing that guys do, you know, even, you know, while they're rehabbing things like that, you know, they're on social media. They're still talking about how great Georgia is, you know, and flipping, like you said, flipping a guy from Hoover, Alabama, who is the mecca for going to Alabama and going to Auburn. To get that guy to come all the way to Georgia is huge. So, you know, that says something about the program that we're having. And now guys are starting to see that, well, Georgia's opening up the playbook. You know, we're being more dynamic. We're pushing the ball downfield. We're throwing a little bit more. You know, and that's kudos to Coach Mike and that coaching staff to let's go to work, you know. And Kirby Smart is starting to see it now. You're not going to get these five-star receivers, these kids that all these other teams have that have them be dynamic on offense if you don't throw the football. Yes, we can throw. Yes, we can run the ball. We know that. That's what Georgia's been built on for forever. But you have to throw the ball in order to get these athletes that you need in order to win championships. Look at Clemson. Look at all the receivers they've had, and they still managed to run the ball with ETN. You know what I mean? So those have to look at, and those are things that Georgia's doing well right now. Kirby Smart's figured it out. He's figured out the recipe. So now it's time to go to work. Now it's time to get these dynamic receivers and things that come in that if you throw a five-yard hitch, they can take them to the house at any point.
Oh yeah, no doubt, and that's the biggest key. Just get the athletes in and do something with them. So, this thing is far from over. We're gonna, you know, to wrap up our recruiting discussion, we're gonna have Blaine back on at the end of this month to kind of recap this crazy month of June, because this June, you know, June's usually kind of crazy anyway with 7-on-7s camps and stuff like that. But since there's been an extended dead period, it's been extremely insane. It's been fast and furious. There's been decommitments everywhere. You know, people finally getting to step foot on other campuses and meet people. And these kids are overwhelmed, I think, too. And, you know, I don't think it's over for Bear, Alexander, and Bowie. But I think Texas A&M has become a major player. They're now the favorites. But this thing's far from over with those two even because you know, they still got, you know, once the dust settles, they still got to kind of think about, okay, was Georgia the right fit? Is A&M the right fit long term? So there's still a lot of decisions to be made.
Exactly. You got to understand, too, just because you decommit from the school does not mean that you could not go to the school and commit to that school still. You know, you decommit because, of course, you still want to go out and look at other things. It's just like when you're buying a car. Right. Okay. I like this car, but I still want to go out and test drive other cars too to see which ones I like. You know, and I'm okay with that. You know, you know, with social media now, it's such a big thing now. You know, they have the graphics and things now, and everybody gets so up in arms. But these kids can decommit and then they can come back. It's not, they haven't signed anything. You know, they just went, hey, that's the school I want to go to. You know, and sometimes, you know, that grass ain't as green on the other side when you decommit. You're like, hey, I want to go back. You know, and I'm pretty sure that those guys still have that verbal or that offer from Georgia. So if they want to come back, we would gladly love to have you. But by all means, go to wherever you feel like you need to go, you know, make the right decision for you. And that's what people have to understand. These kids are going to be there for however long they need to be there. Let those kids make the best decision for themselves. And if they want to go and look at other schools, let them be happy for them. Let them go. That just shows just how talented that young man is.
Absolutely. And I'm all for it. I'm all for them. I just want the kid to get it right. You know, yeah. I want them to get it right because, you know, this whole transfer portal is a mess right now because there's a lot of kids who probably didn't get it right.
End up in the transfer portal.
Yeah, because it's that line is long. You know, you might end up in the transfer portal going, yeah, you know what? Tennessee was my runner up, but now I'm at East Tennessee State because I took a chance and Tennessee wasn't available. So, but Israel, part of recruiting is facilities, right? Mm-hmm. And Georgia's facilities, this new facility we opened is second. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting on the tour. I know your boy TK probably got the tour, right? I saw that exchange.
I don't want to talk about it. Me, Chris Burnett, have on the show soon. We were very upset that.
Yeah.
One, let's talk about Topgolf first. Let's talk about how they put Topgolf in Sanford Stadium. Yeah. All right, that is by far the coolest thing I've ever seen. Okay, to put a Topgolf, which we've all been to Topgolf, we know how fun they are today, but put that inside of Sanford Stadium is awesome. And by far, Josh Brooks is the best athletic director in the history of athletic directors. I don't care what anybody says.
If there's anything north of a grand slam, that's what Georgia did hiring him.
And that's it, you know. But that's recruiting fans. That's it. I saw a picture of him and TK. And, you know, me and Chris were a little bit taken back by it. You know, I did shed a tear a little bit. We were kind of jealous. Yeah. But I want to talk about the weight room. Oh, my God. I tweeted a picture of the weight room. That weight room is absolutely ridiculous. They have a whole stadium within the weight room, so they don't have to go outside and run the track stadiums anymore. It's in the weight room. Yeah, you know, that weight room is ridiculous. The locker room, the locker rooms at the stadium. I mean, that's how you get kids to come. Facilities. Mm-hmm. Facilities, facilities, facilities. If you're not upgrading facilities, you're not going to get guys who, guess what? That same guy you're recruiting is going to go somewhere else and see, look at this. LSU has beds in their locker room. Who didn't want to, that's where you spend most of your time anyway, so who's not going there? Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, most places got a barbershop now, so you can get your hair cut. You go get your box lunch and your custom smoothie, go get a haircut and lay down and take a nap.
All you without can get leaving the right there left and still be good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I saw a list, Israel, that really kind of stood out to me when we talk about stadiums. And I'm going to give a little credit to the Dogs 247 site. They ranked actually 247, somebody from 247. Let me find the proper credit here. Brad Crawford ranked the 10 most hostile environments in 2021. Okay. So I'm going to run through this list. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of take a look at this list and I'll tell you in a second where Sanford falls. And we're going to kind of compare and we're going to break down this list. Like, okay, did they get it right? You know, where does Georgia Stadium fit in? You know, who's not in there that should be and vice versa. Who's in there that shouldn't be.
Okay.
So here you go. Number 10 is the Gaylord Family Oklahoma Memorial Stadium. OU. That's a mouthful, right?
It depends on the game.
Yeah. Number 9, Camp Randall, Wisconsin. That should be higher on the list, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Number 8, Autzen Stadium, Oregon. Number 7.
Okay.
Sanford Stadium, Georgia. Number 6. Okay. Death Valley, Clemson's version. All right. Number 8, the Horseshoe, Ohio State. Number 4, the Swamp.
Okay.
And we're going to get into a debate about that. Number 3, Kyle Field. Number 2, Beaver Stadium. And number 1, the LSU Death Valley, which you played there, right?
It depends on what time. Yes. What time is that game? If it's at 1 o'clock, really. 3:30, maybe. If it's a night game, yes, that is definitely number 1.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's loud. It's loud. I was with LSU fans in the Georgia Dome, and that was loud. I remember I think it was definitely 2003. We had them outnumbered. They had 25% of the stadium. They were louder than the Georgia fans that day.
Yeah,
it was insane. So Georgia falls at 7 on this list. Why? All right. Do the 6 ahead of them Is there any stadium you would replace Samford with as far as like hostile environments, things like that?
I would definitely replace them at Ben Hill just because it depends on who the Gators are playing. When Georgia plays, the stadium's loud no matter what, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely replace them in front of the Horseshoe because it depends on who Ohio State's playing, if it's loud or not. They're playing like Rutgers or something, it's okay, you know. But when Georgia fans are there, I mean, when Georgia's playing, it's loud, no matter who we're playing, you know. So I would definitely put them in front of those two. The 12th man, you can't beat the 12th man at Kyle Field. I mean, those guys are rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
You know, one thing about LSU now, they've actually closed that stadium now. So it's definitely loud now.
Yeah, definitely loud. And that band really knows how to get that stadium fired up. Beaver Stadium, if you've seen the whiteout, I've never seen it in person. That's one thing I do want to see in person. That can get pretty exciting. But again, it's depends on who they're playing. If it's a night game against Michigan, it's probably number two on the list. I've been to Death Valley, Clemson version, and it's loud. It's definitely a tough environment, really tough at night. So I think they should be a little bit higher. I think Camp Randall is not getting enough credit. That place, I mean, they're right on top of you. And those Wisconsin people are insane. One of my good friends who does the Believe in Vandy show and Illegal Motion with me and probably seven other shows that I don't know about on the Believe Network, Matt Perkins, he graduated from Wisconsin. He played rugby there, actually. And he would tell me all these stories about Camp Randall and how loud it was. Like, he told me that their student section is so rowdy and so, I guess, vulgar that ESPN would not put them on a night game. That's why they don't have a lot of night games. Like, ESPN will not play their night games because you know how ESPN is. They mic up everything so you can hear everything.
Mm-hmm.
And their student section is, it's like half of one of the end zones. It's
that's impressive, ridiculous. Especially when you think about Death Valley and what happens at nighttime there, that they won't even put Wisconsin in night game. That's impressive. Yeah. I'm not even going to lie.
Because they're like right on top of you, right? Like it's like the cameras are there and like the student section's probably, you know, 5 feet from the camera. So it's like just the proximity of it, I think, makes it a little bit more difficult to for ESPN to avoid some of those fines. But, you know, I think Sanford Stadium, God almighty, there's like one of the loudest, the loudest game I've ever witnessed inside of Sanford Stadium was 04, the revenge game against LSU. I know I've been to a lot of LSU Georgia games, but that was the revenge game where David Green and crew put a absolute smackdown on LSU. Too bad they laid an egg the next week against Tennessee, but that LSU game was insane. The blackout game against Auburn.
Yes, the blackout game, and my very first game in Sanford Stadium. You know, it was my freshman year. And we're playing OK State. And that, I'm talking about, I think it was a 3:30 game, maybe. And it is hot, but them people were rocking and rolling in that stadium that day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because there was so much excitement, you know, and every game after that was just huge. Even the blackout game when we played Alabama, it was still loud, you know. So
Sanford
Stadium was tough to be in. Notre Dame, a couple years ago, they came to Sanford Stadium and we saw what happened. The crowd controls everything.
It's even worse for opposing teams now than it was even back then.
And don't forget the
light
shows.
Our fans have improved. Yeah.
Yes, and the light shows. Come on now. You can't beat that.
The intro is drastically improved where they run out on the stadium, the light show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the fact that the crowd caused, seven false starts for Notre Dame?
Yeah.
And caused them to burn a timeout. Like early in the third quarter, like that's what our fans do. So like two stadiums that I think that don't get enough love is Samford and Camp Randall. Those are two stadiums I think that should be higher on the list. Death Valley should be higher. Both Death Valley should be really high on the list. I think the Swamp is good. I don't think the Swamp is as loud as Samford. We'll get back into that here in a minute. If you see the rundown, we're talking about the Georgia-Florida game.
I'm going to tell you a stadium that I think should be on there.
What's that? I was about to ask you that.
In South Carolina. Is Brian Denny?
Williams-Bryce.
That's it. That's right. Yeah. So Williams-Bryce, have you been there when they played Sandstorm?
I've never been there.
Oh my God. Whether it's a 1 o'clock game or 7 o'clock game, those fans are out there and they're ready to rock and roll. You know, so I think South Carolina is a stadium that people they take for granted because it's just South Carolina. But those people get rowdy there too. They have by far the most disrespectful fans I have ever encountered in my whole entire life. You know, they cut deep in South Carolina. You know, when it's South Carolina versus Georgia, oh my God, those fans are ridiculous. But you know, it makes for a great atmosphere, great college experience, things like that. It makes for great football. You know, so Williams-Bryce, I'm telling you, y'all better look into Williams-Bryce. That is a very tough place to play. When those fans are up and they're rowdy and them white towels are gone, they start playing Sandstorm. It's about to get cooking.
Yeah. And as much as I hate Tennessee and bag on Tennessee, their stadium should be in there. That place is loud.
Yes.
When they're rocking and rolling, that place is loud. I think they just played Rocky Top.
Oh God, I hate that. And the worst part is that they played for the whole entire practice. When we played Tennessee, they played the whole entire practice. Every version of the Dolly Parton version, any version that's ever had Rocky Top, they played at practice the whole entire practice.
They play
loud.
And it is awful. I've been sitting in class when that's happened, when y'all practice in the stadium and it's Rocky Top.
I was about to say, don't let us be at the stadium. No, every speaker is playing Rocky Top, and it is absolutely awful.
Yeah, makes your stomach turn, right? So, I was listening to the J-Boy show. I'll give J-Boy some credit here, some love, Jake. We got a setup now, Jake. So, we're coming for you.
We're ready.
he was having a debate. He had Chris Doering on his show, and I was listening, as I do a lot of shows on the Believe Network. He was talking about neutral site games, right? And it got me thinking about Georgia, Florida, because, you know, most of these neutral site games are very corporate, very buttoned up, very like made for TV type matchups, right? Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot of like home feel to it, right?
Yeah.
But I think the Georgia, Florida game hits different. And a lot of people are on the fence of it should be home and home or it should stay neutral the way it has been. To me, I'm on the side of it staying neutral. Because
stay neutral.
For the South Georgia fans, it is a home game for South Georgia fans, right?
Yes.
And it's a home game for Florida fans. So, I mean, I think it's a perfect atmosphere. You know, it's not your standard neutral site game. That game is rowdy.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool to see half the stadium empty.
Exactly. You have to understand when you do home at home, right? The home team is allowed literally what, 80% of the tickets, you know, and the visiting team's only allowed it just so much. So you're gonna have a sea of red where we're at home and just a little bit of orange or blue. And you go to Ben Hill, then you got orange and blue, and then you got just a little bit of red. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you keep it the same because you understand that is a home game for Georgia still because you got all the South Georgia towns, like myself here in Albany, Valdosta, Clinch County, even on the coast over there. People stay in St. Simons to watch the football game. People stay in St. Simons to travel over to Jacksonville to watch the football game. You know what I mean? So it's still a home game for Georgia. You know, and you got half of that side is Georgia, half that side is Florida. You know, tickets are even split right down the middle. So, I mean, it's neutral. That's what neutral is. You know, you got all the Florida people that want to come up, and it's not a very far drive for either school, really. You know, it's kind of the same. Florida has just a little bit of an advantage, but I mean, it's still the same. But you keep it neutral when you go there. You've been there just probably as many times as I have outside of being a player. And you see a sea of Georgia and you see a sea of Florida, you know, so you have to keep that game. Like it's the largest cocktail party ever invented and you have to keep it there. I think that if you move that game to home and home, I don't think you have as much excitement for the game as it is with it being in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I agree. And to play devil's advocate, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, what about the college atmosphere? What about, you know, Georgia fans travel so well going down to Florida, and Florida fans vice versa coming up to Athens. You know what, you know, there's something to be said about the recruiting of it. There's something to be said about, you know, hosting a Florida game in Athens. But to me, it would just feel weird, right? Mm-hmm. It would just feel weird because it's been there so long. It's such a great environment down in Jacksonville. Like, you're not missing anything. And it's a good way to get equal showing. I mean, there's 100,000 people there, you know, and only 70,000 can fit in the stadium. And then there's mm-hmm. another probably 30,000 that come down on game day. And you got all these people mm-hmm. in St. Simons. And it's like a whole vacation for Georgia fans. So exactly. If there's a Georgia fan telling you that they want that to be home and home, like, I don't know. I mean, Israel, you're probably, I don't know, you may remember it. I was almost too young to remember it, but the 2 years where they were renovating or building Jacksonville's new stadium, where mm-hmm. they had to do home and home, that just, like, nobody remembers that. It's just
I didn't even know they did that. You just enlightened me on something. I didn't even know. I thought it was always Jacksonville.
Spurrier hung a 50-piece in Athens on us, just so you know. Yeah, he hung a 50-piece.
He's still mad about that whole deal, ain't he?
always. He'll always be mad about that. But that was their national championship team, so there wasn't much we could do. Mm-hmm. I think that was like the end of the Ray Goff era. So you know how that, you know mm-hmm. how well that went, right? He had all that talent. Talk about somebody who had a lot of talent and couldn't do much with it. You know,
let me tell you something. The most talented teams are the ones that get you fired because you have so much expectation because you have so much talent. And then you don't produce. And then next thing you know, you're in the principal's office and with your walking papers.
Absolutely. So talking about Georgia, Florida, have you been outside of your playing days?
Oh, yeah.
And I
try to get down there every year. I haven't been in like the last couple of years. But I remember my first time going outside of being a player. And I was like, so this is what y'all do. And I was amazed at just how much fun it was to just be a spectator. Even if you just didn't even go into the game, just being a spectator out there tailgating and things like that, you know, seeing the massacre of things that happens outside the stadium. I mean, it's just awesome. It's an experience that I would tell anybody to get, even if you're not a Georgia or Florida fan. People go to Georgia, Florida just because of the event. You know, and it's always during Georgia's fall break. They do that on purpose. Mm-hmm. Kids go down on Thursday. You know, they stay Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then come back.
People in this whole class anyway. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's one of those things to where just everybody just be quiet and leave the way it is because that's the way it's going to be. And, I mean, go have fun. If you're complaining about it being home and home, you just haven't been. You know, once you go and you see exactly, like, why everybody's so excited about it, you will be quiet and you will probably go every single year. Even if you don't go into the game, you'll go just to W.
Yeah, and the tailgating is second to none. I mean, we've always had good experiences because we know somebody that lives in Jacksonville. One person in our friend group, her dad is like second command at CSX Railroad. A lot of my best memories are from those Georgia, Florida weekends. Like Israel... Mm-hmm. This is the funniest thing. Like we were, I think it was 07. I think it was 07, 08, you know, those years we started getting like, he started renting little party buses for us. Cause there'd be so many of us that went down and stayed together. Mm-hmm. They rent party buses for us. Right. And then he knew the police chief there for the city of Jacksonville. So guess what we got? Police escort. Police escort to the game, right? We're on this bus. People are pulling over going, who in the hell are these people? You know, and little do they know, it's a bunch of like just recent college grads just, you know, doing whatever. You know, they have no idea what's about to step off this bus. Yeah. They think we're like celebrities.
Excuse me.
I know, right? We're looking out the window, looking at people's reactions. We're just having drinks. We're just going... having so much fun. You walk around, we have our tailgate set up, we get dropped off and people are like, really? Police escort? Really? Then we go into the game and man, it's like just to see, and there's so many of these moments where like you're walking out of the stadium and like you're surrounded by Florida fans and like you lead a chant, or like you're surrounded by Georgia fans and you lead a chant, and it's like one person says something and the whole place erupts like in unison. Yeah. Like I did that one time, like so many of my, and like it, when I was going, we only won twice when I was going, right? That was the run of like losing to Florida every year, you know? And so we'd go down there and inevitably the Sunday drive is like, man, how did we lose that game? You know? And, but it didn't matter, you know? Well, I mean, it mattered, but it didn't, like in the grand scheme of things, it's like, man, that was like the best weekend ever. That was like the best fall break ever. Yeah. And then the next year we'd say, man, that's the best fall break ever. You know, exactly. The next year, man, that's the best fall break ever. And we just keep saying it every single year, because every single year, one little thing got better for us, for our experience. And, you know, we figured out Jacksonville. We figured out how to navigate the tailgates. We figured out how to have fun. We went to the landing and figured out how to navigate through there, because that place can get pretty crowded. So, but to me, like one of the coolest things, and I've never seen it in any other neutral site game, like even the Red River Shootout, like even some of these like Georgia Florida type neutral site games. Like, yeah, I think the only one left is the Red River Shootout, where it's like truly kind of like a half and half. But even then, those fans aren't separated literally half and half, right?
Mm-hmm. They're mixed in between.
Yeah, they're all mixed in between, or like by section. So it's like burn orange, crimson, burn orange, crimson, crimson, burn orange, burn orange. You know, it's just all around the stadium, all around the Cotton Bowl. In Jacksonville, like you can see the split when any team attempts an extra point or field goal. You can see the line, right?
Right,
you can
down see the middle.
Georgia and Florida fans sitting side by side, somehow not beating the holy you know what out of each other. And like you see the divide, and like at the end of the game, there's always one side of the stadium is completely empty late in the fourth quarter.
Every single year, all the time,
except for I think it was 2012 it was either 12 or 13 when Jarvis knocked the ball out of Jordan Reed's hands going into the end zone. Yep. That was down to the wire. But
I was there. I saw it happen. I was right there when Malcolm caught that touchdown. And I was like, oh my God, we're about to win this game. And then they marched right down the field. I'm like, dang, now we're about to lose. And then Jarvis knocks the ball out. Sanders comes, he jumps on. And I'm like, thank you, God. That is it.
That was the first one I didn't go to. So I was like, man, I can't ever go back. I can't ever go back. But that was the first one I didn't go to. I was getting ready. We were actually going out like right after that for a Halloween thing. So I was like getting ready to get in the shower. Like Malcolm catches that pass and I'm like getting ready to get in the shower. And I'm like, oh no. So I'm like delaying getting in the shower. I'm like, okay, we're going to stop here at third down. Oh no. Oh no. Oh God, they're marching. So I'm like delaying getting in the shower. I'm like, oh crap. And then Jarvis knocks the ball out and I'm going nuts. I'm in a towel, mind you. And I'm going nuts.
That was a great game. That was a great game.
So how could you move that from being a neutral site game? Like how could you do that? Like that, you're robbing so many fans of such a great experience. Like that's a unique experience. Like, I get not having the Chick-fil-A kickoff. Okay. That's if you did away with that game, cool. Right.
Yeah.
You know, if you move this Clemson Georgia matchup to home and home, cool. Great. I'd probably rather go to Clemson, see this game or have Clemson visit Georgia, see this game. Right.
Yeah.
And I think you're starting to see a little bit more of these home and homes instead of neutral site games, in the distant future, where like we have a home and home with UCLA, we have a home and home with Ohio State, you know, and some of these exciting matchups in like 2029. But like there's a Shamrock series with Wisconsin and Notre Dame. They're playing at Soldier Field. Like, why not just play that at Camp Randall and Touchdown Jesus, right? Why not do that?
Yeah.
You know, that one doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, that's a little bit off the radar, you know, but it might make for it. That might give the Georgia Florida game runs for his money. You never know. I mean, it is Notre Dame. People are going to watch Notre Dame no matter what. People are going to complain, and I complain too, because I don't think they're top 14 because they haven't shown it yet. Do they deserve to be there? Yeah, because they won, but that's neither here nor there. But if you put them together, probably going to be a good game. Notre Dame fans are pretty loyal too now.
Oh, it'll be a great game. Yeah, they're going to bring it. It'll be a great game. I just wish it was in Camp Randall. Or I wish it was at Notre Dame. You know,
that game might be at 1 o'clock if it was at Camp Randall, because obviously they can't have a nighttime game.
It'd definitely be a noon kick, right? Or they might even give them the 9 a.m. brunch kick because the students won't be awake yet. They can't cause trouble. It's on the Big Ten Network because they're banned from ESPN for saying vulgar stuff.
Slow down. Easy, guys. Easy.
Take it easy. Yeah, they don't know how to take it easy there, which is okay. They're college kids, right? So,
that's true.
So the consensus is YOLO, right? YOLO. Hashtag YOLO. So the consensus. Neutral site, mostly bad, but keep Red River Shootout. Keep the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. And if you're a naysayer, please visit Jacksonville and please tell me and report back to me, right? Report back to me, because that game is second. Like, as far as neutral site games, that game is obviously the top, right? And people are going to cite Legion Field for the Iron Bowl, which that game does not need to be a neutral site game, because it's contained with, like, it's contained within the state, right? It'd be like Georgia Tech playing at the Dome or at the Mercedes-Benz now. That would be weird because we're in the same state.
Nobody's going to go see that. Weird.
Like, if it's within the state.
So there's no point.
Yeah. It's like within the state, then play at your home and home, right? Cool. But like, it's a Georgia Florida thing, and it's unique because for a whole segment of fans, it's like their Super Bowl for the Georgia side of it. So, you know, it's way different, right? It's way different.
Most definitely. Like, if you haven't been, please go, and I promise you will not want to do home and home anymore. I can promise you that.
Yeah. I mean, I like all, like 90% of my college stories are Georgia Florida weekends. I wouldn't go that far, but a lot of my stories that I tell about college are from those weekends.
I can completely understand.
It's so much fun.
It happened.
Yeah. It's so much fun, man. And every experience is like, you go down there every year and it's not the same experience there's something new every year. There's something that happens every year that you discover about Jacksonville, right? That you didn't know before. And then that keeps happening. Yeah. And it keeps happening. So I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Definitely. So, So Dan Mullen got an extension. So we're sticking with this Georgia Florida deal. Dan Mullen got an extension. I'm happy about that. I'm happy about that. I think he's not a good fit for Florida. I don't think. He's good for
the East because it makes it fun. You know, if you look at all the coaches on the East side, you know, the West has Lane Kiffin. They got Mike Leach over there now. You know, Nick Saban, who's always throwing out little spurs here and there. You know, if you look on the East side, I mean, we got Kirby Smart, who's pretty funny when he wants to be, and that's kind of it. You know, Coach Pittman, I mean, he's on the other side, but let's see, who else we got? We got Dan Mullen. That's it. That's the only entertainment on the East side that we're going to get. So, I mean, it makes it fun, you know, for the conferences, you know, and I mean, we got to compete with the West. I mean, they can't just have all the funny coaches on their side, you know. So, you know, having him on the East side, and it makes the Georgia-Florida game and that rivalry just a little bit more, because you know he's going to cuss out Coach Grantham at some point too, which is great for TV. And I love Coach. I love Todd Grantham. He was there. He was DC when I was there. I love him to death. You know, he's been great every time we've gone down to Gainesville. You know, with our teams and things like that. I love him to death. But I love seeing him and Dan Mullen get into it, because those two. Because I know Coach Grantham. He's not going to give up without a fight, and neither is Dan Mullen. So it is hilarious to watch them two go at it. It's hilarious.
No doubt. And, you know, as long as he keeps this rivalry interesting, I should say, not interested, then I'm all for it, right? I like it for a lot of multitude of reasons. But you know, I do think, and I don't want to say that, I don't want to not say that Dan Mullen's not a great coach, because I think he is. But I think the fit's a little weird for Florida. I think he's, I don't know where he fits, but Florida seems kind of like he's kind of got that underachiever mindset for a team that's like always expected to be loaded with talent. So it's almost like he doesn't know what. So it's almost like he's the person that got handed keys to a Ferrari and is like, what do I do with this thing?
Yeah, can't drive right. Stick shift. It's okay. Yeah. He's going to figure it out. He's going to figure it out.
He will. Now, he finally got his automatic transmission with Emory Jones, so we'll see how that goes.
He did. So this is going to, be pretty interesting this year, so I'm excited about it. And let's just leave the game in Jacksonville and call it a day, because that it
call
has
it
to
a
stay.
Day.
Point blank.
The end. Fair enough. So I want to introduce a new sponsor, Israel. They'll be with us for a few weeks. Have you ever heard of Moink?
No, I haven't.
Oh, funny you should
say.
We're working with another meat company, right? We had Kansas City Steaks, which my mom for Father's Day bought me some Kansas City Steaks, actually. So we finally got caught up on that. Moink is another meat company, right? And you would have seen Moink. They were founded by an eighth generation farmer who was featured on Shark Tank. And they even and went as far as host Kevin O'Leary said, when he said it's the best bacon he's ever tasted.
You got me sold at bacon.
Jamie Siminoff, the creator of the Ring Video Doorbell, also invested in Moink. So that right there tells me all I need to know, right? You got a super successful company in Ring, in the home security. They are jumping into the meat game with Moink, right? And their feature product is obviously bacon, right? So why do just four companies control 80% of the U.S. meat industry? Because it's big food crushes the little guy, and you can help change that with moinkbox.com. So why are 97% of the chickens served in the U.S. dipped in chlorine? Well, big food doesn't have the same quality standards as the family farm. That's why you need moinkbox.com. Also, the best bacon, the best steak, the best chicken, the best salmon you'll ever eat won't come from a grocery store. You'll only find it on the family farm and caught by independent Alaskan fishermen. That's why, Israel, you need moinkbox.com. I have a Traeger grill, so this would be perfect for me, right? I'm going to take a look at this.
They got a lot of stuff. You know, Father's Day is coming up, so I need to tell my wife about this.
Yeah.
I need more stuff to put on the grill.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the more stuff you can grill, the better. I've sent you a lot of screenshots of different food that I've cooked.
Yes, I'm very jealous of the ribs you sent me last time. I really am.
Yeah. Well, I did. I sent you a brisket once too, not long ago. I sent you. Did I send you the tomahawk?
I forgot about the brisket.
I got to send you the tomahawk. I'm getting pretty good on the Traeger. So Traeger, if you're hearing this, come on, Traeger. Come on over here. I got some pictures to prove it too. Come on.
You have been plugging Traeger a lot, man. I'm on Traeger. What are we waiting on?
I know, right? So get Traeger. We got Moink on the boat, right? So get Traeger, get Moink, right? Get your meats, get your smoker, and then get your Ring doorbell to make sure nobody breaks in while you're smoking your meat that you bought from moinkbox.com, and you're good to go. So you know what you need to do, Israel, and you know what I'm going to think about doing here? I'm going to join the Moink movement today. So I'm going to go to moinkbox.com/believe right now. And listeners to this show get free bacon for a year with every box ordered.
Free bacon?
Bacon for a year. So that's 1 year of the best bacon.
I'm logging in.
Absolutely. That's 1 year of the best bacon you'll ever taste, but for a limited time. So that's spelled moinkbox.com/believe, BLEAV. That's moinkbox.com/believe. Jump on the train today. Get the best meats you'll ever meet. Get the best meats you'll ever eat. Then bring them over to my house and I'll smoke them for you. How about that?
Can we talk about how cool we look? I feel like we're on ESPN right now because we have, thanks to Believe, this is awesome. They put everything down at the bottom so you see it. We got the picture on the side right here. Man, this is awesome. This is cool.
Free bacon. Free is for me, right? Right there. Right. Where's my finger? Hold on. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah, there you go. Right at the bottom of your screen.
Yep. You see it right there. I can't point today. I can't point. I'm too excited. So yeah, Moinkbox, man. I'm excited for that. I hope they stick around with us. I think that'd be really, really good. So track and field, Israel. Something, you know, we talk about all sports here, but never in a million years did I think we would actually get to track and field. Not because I don't like track and field, just because like it's not on the radar. The headlines get buried, right?
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, you know, we want to welcome the new coach, right? Want to welcome the new coach, head coach, Carol Smith Gilbert, coming over. She's a national champion. Most recently, the 2021 NCAA Outdoor National Champions, USC. Mm-hmm. I think the real USC, too, Southern Cal. And she won a national championship and said, you know what? I will go to Georgia. I'm going to Georgia.
Yes.
Josh Brooks, again, like he goes, he tips into sports.
He's the man.
He makes headlines in track and field. Like what AD makes headlines in track and field? I love it. Like track and field gets no love. College track and field gets no love. The sport of track and field gets no love except for once every 4 years for the Olympics. Josh Brooks made that front page headlines, right? Not really front page,
yes,
but
he did.
In the grand scheme of things for track and field.
It was sports front page because it's a home run hire. You have to think about, look at what she's done. You know, look at the program at Georgia. So one thing that I hated, like you said, track gets lost. I didn't realize how much our track team has won.
I saw
a picture of our former head coach with all trophies. I'm like, why haven't we heard anything about this? You know, maybe we have, and I either overlooked it or something, but that's impressive, you know? And then for her to come in and take over a program that's already on the rise, I mean, that's huge. That is huge. That goes to show how much they put on the program. That's just how much Josh Brooks has done his homework on finding a new head coach. And kudos to the last head coach that has done so well with the program.
Exactly. So I'm excited for that.
That is awesome hire.
Yeah, no doubt. And she's coming into a program right now that's got 19 current and former dogs starting at the U.S. track and field trials in Eugene. That's insane, right?
Like, that's what she's walking into after just winning a national championship.
God almighty. Yeah, Georgia Athletics is on the freaking rise. So, needless to say, we've got, let's see, All-American Women's High Jump, Shelby Tyler. Women's Triple Jump All-American, Jasmine Moore. Women's Triple Jump All-American, Titiana Marsh. Women's All-American High Jump, Anna Hall. All right? We've got Arian Smith, that was a track and field All-American. Matthew Bowling in the 200. And the 4x1, Arian Smith in the 4x1 and the 1. There's all Americans all over the place here.
She just walked into a factory and she's about to be ridiculous. And if we didn't know anything about track and field right now, we're about to figure it out because we're about to get blown up about it because this is about to be national news now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And it's going to be insane, and I'm here for it. Anything that makes the university look good. Come on, men's basketball. It's your turn. Baseball, right. It's your turn. Let's get this thing right now.
Oh, speaking of baseball, shout out to our girls softball team.
Yes.
They were this close to knocking off the number one team in the nation. They fell a little bit short. But you know they got there, and the sky's the limit now. I know we're looking for a new head coach, and I'm pretty sure they're doing their due diligence there. So it's going to be another home run hire for Josh Brooks. So the softball team's on the rise. Every sport is on the rise right now at Georgia. Yes.
And congratulations to Lou Harris Champer.
Yes, for her retirement, and I never realized how many games she's won. She's been dominant, you know, in the softball game. So congratulations for her retirement, and you know, hope you have a fun retirement. And maybe, you know, most people don't stay retired for too long. So maybe we'll see her again. Maybe she'll come back, you know, be an assistant, kind of help out, things like that. So Georgia softball is, and they look good at the World Series as well now. It's not like just got beat. No, that was a one-run game in the very first game, which I think we could have won, you know, if the chips had fallen a different way. And then you're playing a high-power team, an Oklahoma team again, you know, so you just never know what's going to happen. And now, I think since they had that taste of it and they were so close, I think that's just going to make them go even higher and set that expectation a little bit higher.
So Oklahoma's coach is going to be in Athens next year, but based on the current trend that we're hiring. So, yeah, Lou Harris Champer, congratulations on 25 tremendous season, including 20 All-Americans. You had SEC Academic Honor Roll 145 times, 39 on the SEC First Year Academic Honor Roll, all kinds of on and off the field accolades. There's a list a mile long. We'd be here for another hour just mentioning those names. So, but Israel, we are approaching that hour mark, so I want to lay out what to expect here over the course of this summer with our show. The goal is to take UGA schedule and get a team by team preview. So we're going to try to have somebody. The goal is to have somebody from every team on our schedule on the show to preview their teams moving forward and to give us a kind of a look and a glimpse into the opponent's point of view. So UAB will be kind of tough to find, but I'm pretty sure. We can get our FCS game with Charleston Southern. We can get Joe DeLeon for that. We've got several on the Believe network that we can tap into. You know, obviously Jay Boy for Auburn, even though he's kind of more of a comprehensive show. He's still got ties to Auburn. We've got Vinny Hardy up there, Kentucky, Kyler Kerbison over there in Tennessee. We've got, need to find somebody for South Carolina, which I think I have an option for that. Mizzou, I still need to look for. Oh, well, there you go. I think we might have one for Florida. I just got fifth quarter Clemson, the account on Twitter there. So we'll have them for the Clemson matchup. We've got our guy from Arkansas. The Hog Talk guy. Got him, Kyle Sutherland. So we'll have him on again. He'll be good. And then if Georgia and Alabama meet, we'll have a Tide Talk sports on here for the SEC championship matchup. So that'll be down the road. So we'll have that. We're going to have Chris Burnett on next week. I've got him confirmed. So unless things go south, we're going to have Chris Burnett, your boy. We can together I'll commiserate over TK's new best friend. And talk about what's going on with him and Brandon Boykin. They're doing a great job continuing, you know, with their podcast. So we'll have Chris on, maybe Brandon on down the road, or maybe Brandon can come on with Chris. I don't know. I'll open that invitation.
Yeah, right there.
And then just so season previews, we're going to Israel in between those. We're going to start previewing Georgia position by position. I know we've kind of already have, but as storylines and fall camp really gets underway, we'll get a more idea of we'll get a better idea of how some of these position groups are going to shape up and what this team's really going to kind of look like. So we'll get that. So that's kind of some programming notes here down the stretch. But as we go, Israel, you got last words for you.
Man, I'm just excited to see all these kids at these camps. I know Georgia's had their 707 lately. A lot of teams that we play down here in South Georgia, you know, they've gone and showed out. Doherty County, as a matter of fact, came in second. I think it was either last week or early this week, you know, second at the Georgia 707. So congratulations to them. We actually play them. We play them within our region. So it's just good to see things getting back to normal. You know, it's good to see these kids, you know, through the last two years, you know, due to COVID. You know, they haven't had a chance to go on these campuses. They haven't had a chance to do 707s and things like they're doing now. So it's great to see that. Great to see, you know, all the correspondence and everything on Twitter. Guys, keep going. I hope everybody has a phenomenal season, injury-free season. But other than that, you know, I'm just looking forward to see this recruiting thing blow up, and we get our guys at Georgia. And I can't wait to hear how things go on, you know, when fall camp starts. And as soon as we do our preview, I can't wait.
Absolutely, man. It's shaking out. Again, been around for a year. The next year is going to be even bigger and years to come. Thanks to our partners here at Brinks TV and the Believe Podcast Network. Doing some big things. And if you want to follow a really good football program, follow Israel, as my allergies are finally starting to attack me. Follow.
Just we're about to get off. Merry Christmas.
I know, right? It's like, whoo, I'm going to itch tremendously. No, follow Monroe Football on social media. That's a good follow. You kind of see what a good South Georgia program is all about. A program on the rise at Hillwood Football. If you just feel sorry for a Nashville program that's really young, follow that again at TroopStar28. If you want some good entertainment, at Coach Burton 36, at Believe in Dogs on all social media platforms. Find us on YouTube. Find us on Facebook Live. We got a Twitch account. I think we're on Twitch right now. So find us. We're in plenty of places now. Subscribe. Get on board. We're going to be, the goal is to be the number one Georgia show on the network. And so we're going to stream live. We're going to be a nighttime show. We're going to dominate this nighttime market. It'll be up for you tomorrow morning. The audio version will be up for you tomorrow morning. So we are the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. We are presented by betonline.ag. We hope you enjoyed us. We'll see you back here next week. And as always, go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
And we are out.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.